they are training people to find jobs to fit within a system that's actually is in crisis.
Hi, everyone. Welcome and thank you for joining me. My name is Franco Variano, and I'll be your host for the Tech Plus Art podcast. Tech Plus Art is the community for curious individuals and creators who are looking to make a dent in the universe. Together, we're exploring the new frontiers of creativity, humanity, and how emerging technologies will continue to shape our culture, professions, products, and much more. Join me on this journey as we speak with artists, makers, researchers, designers, and creators from all backgrounds and fields. Tech Plus Art is an inclusive community, and we make all our content for you. So we want to hear from you. If you've got any suggestions, topics you'd like us to explore, or contribute to yourself, let us know on Twitter or via the website. You can check us out at maketechart.com or at maketechart everywhere else. So with that said, let's get to today's episode. Today we're speaking with Dasha Elina and Benjamin Gaulon, the co-founders of No School Nevers, an international summer school held in Nevers, Burgundy, aimed at students, artists, designers, makers, hackers, activists, and more. Dasha and Ben are also independent artists and creators outside of the No School Nevers program. Dasha's work explores the relationships we develop with the digital devices we use on a daily basis, specifically in regards to the human body, centering around the concepts of care and technology. Benjamin has previously released work under the name Recyclism. His work and research focus on the limits and failures of information and communication technologies, their planned obsolescence, consumerism and the disposable society, ownership, privacy, hacking and recycling, and much more. His work spans across several mediums and formats. I definitely recommend exploring each of their individual profiles in greater detail and checking out No School Nevers. As always, you can find all these links and more in the show notes below. So let's get started. Hey, Dash and Ben. Thank you very much for both being on the show today.
Thank you for having us. Yeah.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. I think we were just saying a moment ago that this is the first episode that features two guests on the show at once. So this is super exciting. And we're doing this because you've both started an amazing program in school called No School Nevers, based in Nevers, France. And we'll explore that in greater detail very soon. But I was hoping we could start this episode by having you each introduce yourselves so that we can learn more about who you are individually. So things like, where are you from and what did you study?
Well, I'm originally from Moscow, Russia, and my mom always wanted me to be an architect, so she always pushed me to do artistic types of activity. And well, actually, for my undergraduate, I went to Parsons Paris, which is where I met Ben, because he was my teacher and my program director. And I studied art, media, and technology, so the whole program was around the dialogue within art and technology, which included a lot of different things like coding things, video, graphic design, just anything that is related to the medium of technology.
That's super cool.
Yeah, so I'm Ben and I'm French. I grew up in the French countryside in a small village. And then I studied initially graphic design and went to move to more interactive media and art and technology, where I did a master in Netherlands at the Frankmoor Institute. And from there, very quickly after, I started teaching in Ireland, in Dublin, for about 8 years at the National College of Art and Design. And there I started the first hack lab, which was kind of a pre-no school, if you want, where I was organizing regular workshops and events. And after that, moved to Paris to work at Parsons Paris for 5 years. And after that experience, thought it was time to start a new adventure. And Dasha happened to be also just graduating, and we really enjoyed collaborating together. And it came quite naturally that we decided to work on this together.
Yeah, that's very cool. And so individually, throughout both of your respective careers, what really pushed each one of you towards this unique combination of technology and art within your research and work?
So I guess I could start, because I started slightly before Dasha, as we have a few years difference. As I mentioned, I started from graphic design and was really interested in the idea of sampling and remix culture and issues around copyright and reusing when it came to kind of graphic and digital art. And from there, I got very interested in the darker side of technology, I guess, planned obsolescence, overconsumption, consequences of our overuse of technology, and how you can rethink hacking and recycling in that lens.
As for me, well, actually, when I first started Parsons, Paris. I was studying in a completely different program to begin with. I was supposed to do something more related to management and design. So, well, actually what I'm doing now, I guess, in the sense of organizing events. But then I found out about the program that Ben was running, and I saw a lot of his work and of the other people that were teaching at the same time. And I got really into Glitch, which is also why we got along so well, I think. So then I just started experimenting with super basic stuff, like trying to glitch an image through text edit and things like that. And that also got me really much into this sphere. And so I decided to transfer to that program and continue with that.
That's amazing. I'm definitely going to include each of your personal links so that everybody listening can easily find out more about each one of your careers and the amazing projects you've had a chance to accomplish to date. But on that note, and as I mentioned earlier, you've both come together as of last year to launch a new program that focuses on many of these same subjects and questions that have driven your careers to this point. Can you tell us more about No School and why it's based in Nevers, France?
The idea of No School was also, I think, from years of experience of teaching, you know, grad students and myself, kind of looking for an alternative to PhD, for example. There was really nothing in between that time of, you know, you've done studying or you're about to finish and you want to continue having serious conversation about technology and their social and environmental impact and work with talented artists from all over. There was really nothing like this. And I think that was one of the reasons that we thought we should do it.
Yeah, I guess when Ben started coming up with the idea and asked me to join, he explained to me what he wanted to do with it. And it sounded great because it kind of sounded like a continuation of what I did for my bachelor's, but more free, I guess, in a sense, as there's no specific course structure, at least for the summer program, which we're organizing now. It's more like 2 weeks of workshops. So we invite people that we've worked with in the past or would like to work with to just run workshops on the fields that they're specialists in. And it's a great space for the students to just kind of figure out what they're interested in or to continue their own research or practice. And they have the space where they could turn to all of these practicing artists to help them with the projects that they want to develop.
Absolutely. That's very cool. And what have been some of the biggest challenges you've both had to face in starting this type of program?
I'd say the biggest challenge so far has been finding funding, which I guess doesn't really come as a surprise as it is quite a niche domain. We definitely don't have a shortage of people. We actually have to refuse people sometimes just because we don't have a big budget and we can't really fly people overseas necessarily, stuff like that. But yeah, trying to find spaces for cheap, trying to get funding from the government. I mean, we have a bit of funding from the city of Nevers, which is where the summer program happens.
But it was also kind of a strategy to be independent from the start. So asking participants to pay for the school was a guarantee that we'd be able to run it independently. So last year, I think 95% of the budget was through students' enrollments, and city helped us a little bit, and hopefully this year more. And, you know, as we grow, eventually this will change and we'll be able to offer more cheaper tuitions and maybe more free ride, even though we do offer one free spot every year for people who can't simply afford it but really or could benefit from the program. So that independence is, I think, also very important. It's kind of felt like all the participants, whether they are teaching or being part of the program or part of the same group, and they're in charge of this school as much as we are, and it's very much of a community practice and creating networks between people. That's a very important aspect for us. So for now, it's mostly the summer program as we are in our second year, and we are actively trying to open more events in Paris. But for now, while the cost of running events in Paris is very different than doing this in the countryside, because this summer program happens in a small town in the center of France, a kind of city that's been neglected, I would say, or people are living massively and it's not like a lot going on. So I think it's really important to bring back activity in these kind of places. And it's also a nice space to be a bit isolated from, you know, a huge city and other distractions. So when people come to this summer program, they have 2 weeks of real focus. As Dasha mentioned, we try to open discussion and critique on technology, understand them and explore their limitation and their positive and negative aspect, but also give people skills for taking ownership of these tools. So creative coding, doing electronic, be able to really make your own tools and not be dependent from, you know, industry standard and other limitation that you may have when you work with this type of tools.
Definitely. And I think that's part of what makes this so unique and appealing. And so with that collaborative approach between all the participants of the program, what are some of the conversations, skill sets, outcomes that you're both hoping to fuel through this type of program and community?
Last year, we did an exhibition at the end of what the student had produced, whether during workshops or on their own or collectively, and a publication, which was kind of a zine, you know, like very much of a DIY, riso printed. And it was part of the kind of aesthetic that we also are looking for in terms of an event that's low tech and low budget, and as also trying to have a low impact on the environment, because it's also part of our ethos. So this is some of the potential outcome, which we'll also produce this year. But it also includes performance. We have audiovisual live performances during the closing weekend. We also had participants, not teacher, but actually student participants, present their work during the evening conferences. So it's trying to engage people as much as possible on the same level as the people invited to be part of the law school.
I think it's also important to mention that, well, at least last year, a lot of the students, so to speak, were PhD students themselves or already practicing artists for many years, or curators or teachers. Journalists or what, teachers, yeah. So everyone, that there's no real hierarchy in a sense. A lot of the students were helping each other throughout the workshops. So yeah, it's a nice community, because even though there are teachers that teach the workshops and students, so to speak, that participate in the workshops, everyone is on the same level.
Yeah, definitely. And I know it's still early, as it's only the second year, but what are some of your favorite projects from last year or the workshops that are planned for this year? Can you share some examples of the types of things that are going on?
So last year we had interesting collaboration between students and, for example, Garnet Hertz and Fred Polino, and a bunch of students built like these weird, crazy machines from junk and electronic that was kind of inspired by Fred Polino, Gambologia research, and Garnet Hertz is involved with various writing around critical making. So it was very interesting to see this kind of collaboration happen. We had student doing computer vision hacking with plants and flowers. Various kind of work. But last year was really focusing on making and critical making. And the building was where we did the workshops, where former factory. When this year, we're in a kind of city center in a former shop. And it's a gallery called Usani that used to be a shop. And we are trying to focus more on idea of consumption and retail and how we can explore those spaces critically and creatively. So, for example, the first workshop will be a sound field recording workshop where the participants will explore the sound of consumption in supermarkets and shops and create sound pieces from those extracts that they will collect from various shops in the city. And then the rest will include live coding for visuals with Ted Davis, for example, using P5 Live. It's a library that he developed for doing live coding for visuals. We have people exploring more critical concepts like post-growth with Nicolas Maigret and Maria from Disnovation. We have Johanna, who's going to teach DIY electronic and makeup workshop. I can't tell much more than that, but it's going to be very interesting to see people mixing fashion and technology, I guess, in a very unusual way. So yeah, it's trying to really explore the field from software to hardware to critical theory as much as we can, and be led by those amazing artists that we are able to invite. You know, and a lot of it is unscripted and will happen on the spot, and we try to leave spaces for those things to happen. We have a schedule, but it's got gap on purpose, and I think what makes it fun when you're there.
Yeah, and then we also had a lot of feedback from last year, which, as you know, is our first year, so that was quite tough to create a schedule because we had a lot of teachers, but also we wanted to figure out what the students were most interested in, because we had a lot of workshops, and then people also produced fully developed projects in the end. So it was a lot of work and it was very intense. And this year we're going to try to leave more space for independent production.
That's super cool. And so when you both tackle putting this type of multidisciplinary program together, bringing in creators, artists, makers together and having them collaborate, discover and create, what do you both at all end up seeing as something that's missing? Like, what are you hoping to create with the outcome of this program in this space?
I think one of the key aspect for us is really trying to question, it's a big word, but capitalism and how we function within that, and how technology has a big role to play in this rapidly changing climates and how we have a responsibility as artists and designers within that space to question how those technologies are impacting us and the environment. And I think it's not necessarily what schools are doing right now, because they are training people to find jobs to fit within a system that actually is in crisis. And I think what we're trying to do is to maybe teach activists and rebel and people who will, you know, push those questions in other places. I think one of the best example of that was one of our participants last year moved back to the US to start a program in our university. Do you remember the university, maybe?
Duke University.
And she took some of those concepts of sustainability and technology and recycling and brought those back in their curriculum. So this is, to me, the best outcome possible for this kind of program, is how we can push this agenda, I guess, further and get people from all over the world questioning these kind of issues when it comes to, again, social justice and environmental issues, technology.
And so maybe just pushing that a bit further, you quickly mentioned the role of the artist and the designer. Can you elaborate on that a bit further? What role do these creators need to play in this evolving landscape?
That's a big question.
Maybe I could talk from, I guess, from a teaching experience. I see that students, you know, and the younger they are and over the years, are really questioning their role, and they're really in crisis, I think, also wondering, you know, where are we going with this way of living and way of producing things and way of consuming things. And I think there is really an appetite for ways to go around it, to rethink consumption, to rethink recycling. Last year, in our part of the events was to visit a recycling center in next to the city of Nevers, and where they also burn garbages on a daily basis, all day long, all week long, and all year long. How can we deal with this on it's such a large scale problem? And I think it has to start from the bottom up. Designers and artists have a responsibility towards what they use and how they use it, and how they can change those discourses. How can they bring new discussions and new narrative on other ways of living and sharing and exchanging life, data, devices, and so on. So I think this is one of the aspects that we are trying to explore. And we don't really have the answers. That's why we need all those people to think about these issues. Last year, we had 30 teachers for 20 students. So it gives you a sense of, it's a big conversation that we have with a lot of people. And I think that's the only way we can move forward, is towards understanding those tools, owning them, be able to make stuff with it or not, and then having the type of discussion and imagination for other way of living and other way of consuming, and or maybe actually not consuming would be probably the best way.
Yeah. I think it's just important to have a critical view on the situation in which we are now. I mean, of course, technology brings a lot of really helpful, really great tools, but I think it's also important to kind of take a step back and think about technology critically and about what the tech industry is doing to our society and how they're harvesting data or what they're doing with it. It's just one of the few things that we'll discuss in the program.
And we're also very happy to have a French theorist, Malcolm Ferdinand, this year, who just published a book called Decolonial Ecology, who is also going to talk about kind of a critic of the term Anthropocene and how, you know, this term used in kind of environmental studies to describe how the impact of man on the planet can be traced and seen as the sin of man. And this book question is whether we should talk about plantationocene, which is more to do with extraction and colonialism, and how certain people, well, actually extracted more from Earth than others, and how we should question the place of race also in environmental studies. And so this is some of the conversation that we are trying to explore. And I'm really honored and pleased that we have all these amazing people to do it with us.
Definitely. And it's an amazing initiative and program, and I can't wait to see how it continues to grow and impact the world. And so on that note, are there any upcoming projects or focuses that you can each share, or is all of your focus on the summer program for now?
No, I mean, of course, we're both also practicing artists, so we don't spend all of our time organizing No School, luckily, I guess, for us. I'm currently working on a new project, which is taking a bit longer than I expected, but the research is around the implementation of care robots, which is something that we see a lot in Asia, specifically in Japan, where the kind of the demographic of the population is rapidly changing. So there, people are starting to live longer, and they're starting to become a lot more elderly people. So scientists have developed all of these robots to take care of these elderly people because they just don't have enough people in the care facilities to take care of them. So the new project that I'm working on is kind of criticizing the ethics behind the implementation of AI and robotics in the elderly care sector.
And for myself, I started a new project with another artist called Jérôme Sinclair, which is called the Internet of Dead Things Institute, where we, it's pretty much the same kind of concept. We want to explore the latent potential in obsolete technologies. So our latest project is a OS for the Minitel, which is the French pre-World Wide Web device that we had in the 80s, which was a terminal that you had in your house with a screen and computer, and you could go online if you want, where you could go to the centralized system and check messages, or you could search for phone numbers, you could buy things, you could do banking. I mean, it was pretty much a pre-internet. There was even dating and kind of porn, even though it's all ASCII at the time. And what we've done is we actually put it on the web. It was never on the web. And we allow people to then do more than this device was intended for and give it a second life, as 6 billion of these terminals were in France at the highest point. So there's still a lot of them out there, and we are basically offering people a way to use them for some kind of new purpose. And this is one of hopefully many projects that we'll explore, maybe because in my practice I tend to go in more experimental or sculptural, like circuit bending and glitch art. This is trying to come up with actual practical use of those devices that both are artistic but also actually potentially useful. So instead of destroying those machines or trying to extract the gold from the circuits, what about trying to give them life as long as we can and use them? You know, it's kind of a digital upcycling or electronic upcycling, if you want.
Yeah, those all sound like amazing projects. And I know there's much more. So as I mentioned, I'll link to both of your profiles so that everybody listening can collectively go check it out and keep up to date with the work over this coming year and into the future. And so throughout your career, what are some resources or experience that have sort of stood out as turning points or sources of inspiration for your work that you would recommend to others? Obviously, No School Nevers is up on that list, but are there any other talks, books, mentors, or anything else like that you'd recommend?
One of our partners this year is a magazine called Neural, which is Italian-based by editor Alessandro Ludovico. He was one of our guests last year, and I can't recommend enough this amazing magazine. It's actually a printed magazine you can subscribe to. It's one of the few left, I think, and really focusing on critical work around technology, electronic music, book. It's really amazing resource, I think, and it's still a great source of inspiration. And the last one would be, of course, the open source community. I think a lot of what we do is to do with that. All the tools we use are and will be open source. We try to publish all our projects as open source. So it's really, you know, none of this work would exist without such community.
Yeah, I think I'd add also the blog We Make Money Not Art by Régine Libetti, who also was one of the speakers at No School last year. And she's been doing great work for like years and years, writing about the intersection of art and technology and other things as well. I mean, design also.
And to name another blog, the Creative Applications is also a great space. They've been helping us also promoting the school. So yeah, those are really useful spaces for, you know, people who want to know kind of both what I've been done and what's going on in the fields. Even though I think today we don't really follow blog as much, maybe podcasts and social media are more the thing. But I think this is also a very good collection and archive website that you can spend hours going through.
Those sound like amazing resources. And so just to cap this episode off, is there any advice that you'd share with the younger version of yourself or someone just getting into this field?
I know what Ben's going to say, but maybe I'll start. I think I'd say don't underestimate the power of documentation. There have been lots of times when I thought, I'm exhibiting in this place, they'll document it, it'll be fine. And then never actually having any documentation of the work or just being lazy and not doing it and then not having anything left of the project, essentially.
I would say learn about how to use Excel properly and deal with money, because I think that's also one of the things in art school that I found as a student and as a professor was always kind of a taboo subject, money and how do you deal with it and how you do an invoice, all these things that are really practical. And there are also discussion that we try to have with a student and other teacher at No School is like, you know, how do you do it and how, because it's really not something that we teach enough to designer and artist. And I think this is what can make a big difference whether you survive this field or not.
Yeah, absolutely. And so just to help people find out a little bit more about No School Nevers, can you guys just recap where everyone should go and why they should sign up right now?
Yeah, so noschoolnevers.com, and never, and so with an S, because it's the name of the city. So that was kind of the joke also. We have an ongoing registration, unless until we're full. So for now, we still have spots, so it's a go for it. We allow people to pay in several times if they need. We can also help with housing, and the fee includes, you know, all the workshops and also food, lunch, breakfast, dinner, and everything. So, and that's very important. We go to a very nice restaurant, you know, it's a French countryside. Good wine, good cheese, and it's really part of the experience, and we really want people to enjoy that. And I think from last year's experience, we can tell that people did a lot.
Mm-hmm. Also, surprisingly enough, the restaurant offers vegetarian and vegan options, which normally I think you would never see in France.
Especially in the countryside.
Yeah.
So the date of No School are June 29th to the 11th of July. And it will also include a closing weekend with live performances and talks and amazing guests from all over and some surprises. We can't tell everything right now.
Definitely. What a unique experience. It sounds so cool. And everybody loves surprises. So I can't wait to see what comes out of this year's event and looking forward to following along in the future. Well, this was awesome. Dasha, Ben, thank you so much for both being on the show today. This was amazing.
Thank you
for having us.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, if people have questions or anything they want to ask us about the program before signing up, we are always welcome, and we love to Skype with people and talk to them directly when needed.
Thank you for joining me for another episode of Tech Plus Art Podcast. We're a very small team behind this project, so we greatly appreciate all your support. If you love our content and these podcasts, consider leaving a review on Apple Podcasts and sharing it with a friend or two. This really does go a long way in helping us get discovered and reach more creators. As always, you can find us online at maketechart.com or at maketechart everywhere else. See you soon.